Podcast. It's Wednesday, March 24th. I'm here with Stuart Gibson. We are taking a look at an 11-game slate.
Yeah, big slate tonight. There don't appear, at least glancing at the game totals, to be any one game or maybe pair of games that are really separating from the rest of the slate. So I think, you know, just at the outset, I know we talk a decent bit about kind of how to manage rules and like optimizer settings. This could be a night where, you know, I might, and there as of now don't appear to be any like massive injury induced value situations on the slate. Potentially, I guess maybe like Charlotte, we're seeing a good bit of value with LaMelo being out. But for the most part, like I think a big slate as far as the number of options we have to choose from, and like a fairly balanced slate. You know, there's no team like Milwaukee the other night that was like popping as far as just having a ton of value opened up. So, you know, I think potentially a night for rule setting to maybe cap lineups at one player per team. We'll be interested to kind of talk through it more and see if there's any spots where we maybe like multiple players on the same team. But just at the outset, with a slate this large and no like one game separating from the field with regards to total or just clear value opening up due to injury, I think for me a night where I kind of want to be diverse with my exposures and not overexpose any one lineup to, you know, any one team, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that approach. And another thing on a big slate like this, it becomes less likely that the low multiplier guys win over the field. So you should look for your favorite high multiplier plays. Also, with Superdraft, we don't concern ourselves with injuries quite as much because the peripheral values that might pop up like a Tyler Johnson are not relevant for Superdraft. But we should note at the outset that although Harden did play last night, he is likely to be limited tonight. So he should be X'd off your list straight away. Other injury spots, obviously Giannis is a big one. We are assuming him in. I think he will be in. Brogdon and Turner, probably not relevant for Superdraft. Any other injury situations you're looking out for?
Yeah, as I scan RotoWire, not seeing any super relevant ones that are, I mean, I guess, I don't know, Porter is an interesting one to track with Wall and Oladipo both active. I guess it kind of just loses, you know, if one of those guys was out, I think it would be a massive impact for the Wall or Oladipo, whichever was in. But with both in, yeah, I mean, nothing. I'm, you know, the Giannis news, I think, is a big one. Brogdon not on the slate. We have gotten early injury news that Shea will be out. So I think that's a significant kind of injury note that has come across today that will be relevant. But yeah, as far as kind of cues that are up in the air, Giannis is really the one to key on.
So it's a slate with 11 games. There are a fair number of dead games and an unusual number of sort of mid-total games. We don't have any games that are jumping off the slate as likely to generate huge interest. I think Dallas and Minnesota will be a very interesting and popular game. You noted that our inclination towards Edwards paid off handsomely for about a week, and then the industry caught up. So tonight he's going to be a popular play. Doncic, of course, will be popular. What are you looking out for in that game?
Yeah, so I mean, this there's kind of two games I have circled. As I think discussed on this podcast, I like to try to identify games in which a super fast-paced team is playing a kind of middling to slow team. And I think targeting that slow team can be advantageous because their price is kind of structured around that team's historic pace. And while they're typically a slow team, when they do play an opponent that is particularly fast, there's, I think, opportunity just for their medians to be exceeded with kind of higher confidence. So Dallas is one of those teams. They are one of the slower teams in the league over the last 30 days, averaging just over 94 possessions per 48 minutes. They're going up against Minnesota, which is one of the faster teams in the league. Over the past 30 days, they are averaging over 103 possessions per 48 minutes. So just like a massive differential where even if the pace meets somewhere in the middle, that's still like a huge pace up game for Dallas. I mean, a differential of almost 10 possessions. You know, if you just half that and Dallas gets kind of five possessions more than their prior kind of average, that's, you know, that's a fast game with kind of more scoring opportunity than expected for that team, or at least not more than expected, but more than we have previously observed. The other team that's kind of in that category is Boston. They play pretty slow as well, going up against the up-tempo Milwaukee team. So yeah, going back to Dallas, you know, I think overall really strong game environment. Doncic is a guy that I just don't like playing him that much. His multiplier is just regularly at the floor. And, you know, obviously he's a great kind of raw play and I think perfectly viable in other formats. On Superdraft, he can work out and of course can be part of the winning lineup. But he just has to do so at such a massive raw performance. And I don't know, to me, I while I'm also setting rules to limit like team limits, I also am pretty aggressive in trying to set rules to limit the number of low multiplier players I can get in the lineup. So like on a night like tonight, I will most likely for tournaments set a rule of max one of Giannis, Harden, Doncic, and Jokic, and potentially even like Towns in that mix. And it's just like if there are four other guys that have to be excluded from a lineup anytime that I roster Doncic, it's likely that he's just not going to have as much exposure in my lineup. So, you know, I think for that Dallas side, I'd be much more partial to a guy like Porzingis who has that healthy multiplier where he just has, I think, a higher likelihood of being a part of the tournament winning lineup. Just the better multiplier, he doesn't project that much worse than Doncic, is at least not as much off of the Doncic projection relative to the difference in their multiplier. So Porzingis would be the guy that I would prefer on Dallas, I think, by a pretty healthy margin. Guy like Josh Richardson would be kind of a deeper guy to target on the Dallas side. We're projecting Doncic post-multiplier a touch better than Richardson at his 1.65 multiplier, but Porzingis well ahead of both of those other Dallas guys.
I just want to emphasize again that the biggest edge on this slate is probably going to be that people will go to Harden and he's a bad play. I think he'll be popular because projection sites have him as one of the best plays. But he is to be avoided, in my opinion.
Is the thinking that he'll be on a minutes limit? Yeah, I guess I'm seeing that.
Yeah, Steve Nash said after the game that his minutes will be monitored carefully if he plays. So I think I kind of thought that there was a higher percent chance than the rest of the industry thought that he would be out last night, because I've just seen those injuries before and it creates a lot of stiffness. So I kind of thought that he might be out, but obviously he played and did fantastically well. I just think he's a bad play tonight. He's going to be limited.
Got it. So of, you know, we talked about Harden, kind of skepticism around him. Is there any guy in this top four of Giannis, Harden, Doncic, Jokic that you would be most open to targeting of kind of that low multiplier tier?
Yeah, I'm actually okay with Doncic. I don't think you want to go crazy there, but I think I'm okay playing him a decent bit. Since you do have to choose between Doncic and Porzingis, and we like Porzingis at 1.35 a bit more, I probably won't be on a ton of Doncic, but I certainly don't mind him. And yeah, we might as well go through some of the guards that we like. I think we're going to be higher on Booker than the rest of the fantasy community. 1.35, we like him a good bit. It seems like usage is shuffling around a little bit in Phoenix. Ayton is definitely on the ascendancy. I think there's good reason to be bullish on Ayton right now. I think guys like Saric are probably going a bit down in minutes and usage. And then Booker, we're pretty high on. So I like him as a play. I think Trey is a good play at 1.25. I think Fox at 1.3 is a good play. I think Edwards, we continue to be high on him. And he's a good match with, say, a Porzingis lineup. I think Donovan Mitchell is a good play at 1.2. That multiplier is a bit lower than Superdraft has had him at in the recent past, but I still think that's attractive. Any names that I haven't mentioned that you're high on?
Man, I hate the game itself, but Sexton has been a guy who has been capable of just some really big games. And 1.5 feels like a enticing price for him. A little concerned about the game total. 216 is pretty low. I think potentially the lowest on the slate. Phoenix and Orlando is actually a touch lower. But I don't know, Sexton has been able to get there in kind of low total game. So I think he's a guy I'd be willing to take some tournament exposure to.
Our optimizer has peripheral pieces of Ja. What do you think about Ja in that game? Fairly low total on the slate. There's not much appeal on OKC with Shea being out. How do you see that one?
Well, yeah, we do have a strong projection on him, or relatively strong. The game total is a bit concerning. And, you know, while I just kind of suggested that I'm not really scared away by that for Sexton, I do think Memphis is a little less concentrated of an offense. You know, they can score through JVal or through you know, any of these kind of swingmen like Brooks or Anderson. So I don't know. My instinct would be a little cautious around Ja. Memphis is a slightly up-tempo team, and OKC is just kind of league average as far as pace goes. So not like a phenomenal game environment for Ja. So I might be a little hesitant to be super heavy on him. I think I like Sexton a bit more. I mean, I think they're comparable as far as their minutes projection, game environment. I think Sexton just has kind of more, just a greater share of that Cleveland offense, and also has a slightly better price on him. So that would be my preference of those two guys who are kind of similar in pricing, game environment.
Now on Utah, we're very high on Donovan Mitchell. I think we're going to be higher than the industry on Donovan Mitchell. And then we do not have any Conley in our lineups, even though Conley is 1.6 multiplier, seemingly representing some good upside at that multiple. Why are we so high on Donovan?
I think it's a healthy game total for that matchup. Brooklyn hasn't had the strongest defense. It's not like kind of a particularly up tempo game pace. So I'm guessing just through efficiency, I guess a high usage projection for Mitchell. I think his minutes are feel about right. We have him at 36 minutes. That might be, I don't know, a touch high. He's kind of had some minute volatility. Potentially we are a touch high on his minutes. He's kind of been up in the high 30s when Conley has been out, but when Conley has been playing, his minutes have been kind of south of 35 more than they have been north of 35, at least in the past three games in which Conley hasn't played. You know, Utah has won by 25, in which Mitchell only played 30 minutes, and they had two competitive games, you know, less than double digit games, and Mitchell went for 34 and a half and 33 minutes. So I don't know, we might be a little bit high on his minutes. Usage wise, he's had some spike games where he's up at like 40% usage even when Conley has been active. I think there's kind of high upside there for Mitchell. Like he can have these games where he's playing close to 35 minutes and, you know, getting a 40% usage rate, which should translate to, you know, productivity as a scorer and as a distributor. So I would guess maybe some upside in his tied mostly to his usage could be a reason for the high projection on Conley. I'm sorry, on Mitchell.
We were quick to be on the ascendancy of Haliburton on Sacramento. He is going to be important on other sites tonight, not necessarily on Superdraft at the 1.5 multiplier, but how do you see the relative roles of Fox and Haliburton in that game?
Haliburton's minutes are kind of back on the rise after he was playing on kind of in a limited role. I think they had a minutes limit on him in kind of the mid 20s, and now he has played above 32 minutes in three of his last four games. The one game in which he didn't was a 25 point loss. Most recently he played looks like up over 36 minutes against Cleveland. I think at the raw, like Haliburton projects quite well. I think Fox just has, like, even though their minutes are similar, like when Fox is active, his usage is just so much higher than Halliburton's. And they're not like, there's not a huge gap differentiating them price-wise. Like if, you know, Fox and Halliburton were separated by like 0.3 to 0.4x, it seems like it would be more of a conversation and decision between the two. But Fox is priced so like affordably that I guess just in games where you like Sacramento, it feels like, you know, Fox is just clearly the guy. Like his usage most games is up over 30 in kind of the low 30s. And, you know, Halliburton just never really has games in which he is shooting, assisting, or I guess turning the ball over counts toward usage more than like 20% of his possessions. You know, he's the last, I don't know, I'm just looking at the last like six games or so, and he's kind of been in the teens as far as usage rate goes, as where Fox has been in the high 20s to low 30s as far as usage rate goes. And, you know, that to me is a significant difference, and that difference isn't mirrored by the price. I just saw, it's interesting, we were talking about Sexton, that he is just ruled out tonight. So I do think that we'll have to update our projections, but that would figure to open up a pretty good role for Darius Garland, who has been pretty high usage when Sexton has been out. So don't have the updated projections in front of me now. We can do that after the show, but have liked Garland in the past, and he's at 1.6. So that would be a guy to keep an eye on following that kind of injury news.
Yeah. On the other side of that game, how do we have LaVine? LaVine is a 1.25 multiplier. He'll probably be middle of the pack, sort of a low ownership guy tonight.
Yeah, doesn't appear that we have a very favorable projection on him. And I would guess that will probably be under the industry kind of consensus on him. So it would appear that, you know, per our projections, if you're just using them as is, you'll likely be underweight a bit on LaVine.
It's worth monitoring the spread in that Brooklyn-Utah game. We are high on Donovan Mitchell, but I've noticed it's moved just a little bit in favor of Utah. We're at 10.5 now. If it does keep moving, obviously that's suggestive of Harden not playing if we get to like 12 or whatever. And it also is a knock to Donovan Mitchell, who we're high on. I could easily see that as a game where Brooklyn just decides that they're not likely to win and they just sort of give up and just play sort of a crazy rotation, and then Utah sort of coasts and none of their guys are appealing.
Yeah, and from what I'm seeing, Utah is pretty sensitive to blowout risk. Like I said, last game they won by 25. Mitchell played less than 30 minutes. You know, here's a game in late February. They won by also looks like 25 and maybe even 35. You know, 30 minutes. He's got a smattering of kind of sub 30 games in which Utah has won by, you know, 20 plus points. And yeah, if Harden doesn't play, that would figure to be a pretty significant kind of risk to Mitchell's minutes. And you're going to want him to play 35 minutes if you're rostering him, for sure.
And I mean, it sounds crazy, but I could see Harden having, it sounds like really petitioned Harden to play last night. I could see him just opting to rest, or I could see him wanting to rest, because basically it seems like he pushed to play last night in part because he's in the hunt for the All-Star. He's in the hunt for MVP, although he's probably like 20% to get it or less. He views himself in the MVP hunt, and he's probably trying to improve the campaign while LeBron is out. But part of the MVP campaign is like stats per game. And if Steve Nash has already said he's going to be limited, he might just opt to rest and just not compromise his stats very much. So that could just be a throw in the towel game and kind of a throwaway for fantasy purposes on super draft. It might be an interesting spot for Brooklyn peripheral pieces on other sites. So maybe as the late game goes, it's like a Atlanta-Sacramento game. And for whatever reason, I've watched more Hawks games than probably any other team except the Heat. And it's really interesting the volatility that they engender for other teams. They're a high volatility team. Obviously, Trey, the star, is high volatility. And then the individual pieces are high volatility. Like Collins is tremendously high volatility. Herder has been a weak fantasy option this year, but every once in a while shows up. But then also like what they do to other teams, because they play fast and a little bit scattered, like you have some unpredictable performances from the opponents. So, you know, Buddy Hield could randomly show up and have a big game or whatever. It's just I think that'll be an interesting late game.
Yeah, no, agreed. Fox would definitely be the guy I would want from that Sacramento game. And then, yeah, I don't know, as far as Atlanta, I'm not seeing too many. Looks like Capella we have a reasonably high projection on, and he does have that center-only eligibility, which is kind of intriguing. Also,
I would note on Fox that when Haliburton was posting the big numbers, it did look like Fox was hampered. Just eyeball test, it looked like he looked partially injured. So I think that's over, and the Fox increased usage shows that. I am not fully up to date on the trade deadline. We don't expect any concerns, right?
I don't have any in particular that I'm monitoring.
I guess like Aaron Gordon, not that it's fantasy relevant. I guess it could increase Vooch a little bit.
Have like talks around LaVine kind of simmered? I feel like that was a widely talked about player a while ago. I don't know. There's not anything that I'm aware of. I'd hope that we would get that information before lock, if players are going to be held out for trade purposes. We'll see. It's not a consideration I personally will be factoring in tonight. Unless, of course, there's news that comes out, you know, before lock.
All right, so how do you see center tonight on Super Draft?
Gobert, we are projecting favorably, but you know, you do mention, I think, raise good points around blowout risk.
J-Val off injury, I think they're going to be quick to pull him.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. J-Val is a guy that's just kind of perennially at the top of our projections, and his price kind of continues to sit in that 1.3 to 1.4 kind of range. High efficiency, productive player. I would say it has more diverse kind of stat portfolio than say Ja. So like a game that to me, there just feels like a little less risk. Like a game that goes under, J-Val can still be productive if he gets kind of that double-double mark. And, you know, as a productive rebounder. So he's a guy I would target. Let's see, are we still expecting Serge to be out tonight? Looks like so. I think going back to Zubac is a pretty strong route, and I think one worth considering. Let's see, Vooch, kind of perennially a guy that we're high on. I would say we're not as high on him as we usually are. I guess the thinking is with, you know, Fournier and MCW back, and Gordon is somewhat of a high usage guy. Vooch has less of that, you know, has kind of less of that alpha role within the offense. I will be interested to see how projections update. I mean, Jared, with no Sexton, like Jared Allen's a guy that we typically like. With no Sexton, I could see there being a little bit more opportunity for Jared Allen. 1.35 isn't the most appealing price tag, and it's not a very appealing price tag at all. But as we kind of increase his usage and field goal attempts, I will want to see how he pans out. But there's definitely some, you know, team usage and shots up for grab in Cleveland, so could be a guy worth considering. I mean, Jokic projects well. He might be of kind of the four min priced guys, and I know Jokic is 1.05 instead of one. He might be my preferred guy in that top tier, those top four guys, as far as low multiplier goes. You know, not a sexy play by any stretch of the imagination, but it is kind of the low multiply play that I have the most confidence in. So, you know, I think he's in play, and you know, I would expect if I'm setting rules like max one of those four guys, Jokic will, you know, see decent exposure in kind of my, my runs.
Moving to forward, we are high on the Charlotte guys. Charlotte is playing Houston. What is going on with Houston? Can you help me? Wall was in winning lineups. This was what, two nights ago when Wall was in the winning lineups? And this was coach speak beforehand was that there would be minutes limits. Wall played a lot. They played hard. Wall was in winning lineups. I can't for the life of me figure out what's going on with Houston. Can you help me?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been watching any of their games. So, yeah, I mean, I think a team that's just not very motivated to win. You know, they have a mix of established veterans who, you know, I think Wall figures to stay with the team. Oladipo, probably not. They got some young guys that are probably fighting for, you know, their next contract. I mean, in general, I think it's just going to be an up-tempo team. So I think a good spot and matchup for some of these Charlotte guys. Hayward, I think, would be my preferred forward. We've seen a lot of just PJ Washington getting a ton of minutes lately. I think that has been bolstered by the absence of Zeller, and Zeller is probable tonight. So, you know, I could see that potentially cutting into the likelihood of Washington hitting like that high 30 minute ceiling. To me, Hayward would be the preferred forward in Charlotte that I'd want to go with.
I have two more questions on forward, and then we will take off. Christian Wood, we have an 11% of optimals. How do you feel about Christian Wood tonight?
Well, let's see. We talked about him, I feel like, the other day, and kind of the thinking was that his minutes had been trending up. He had, you know, he had this game where he posted in the mid-30s minutes-wise and then was back down to you know, high 20s in the last game. I don't know. I would say we're probably a bit high on his minutes projection as I see it right now. 36 to me feels a little high. So I would say that my inclination would be to not be as high on Wood as that 11% mark you suggested is. I think to me 36 minutes seems a bit high and a bit ambitious for Wood, given that he's been below 30 in three of his last four games. you know, the most recent game against Toronto, Oladipo was out. So, you know, you would have figured that's actually a pretty decent spot for Wood to maybe be the second offensive option for Houston. And he just wasn't, just hasn't really been featured in the offense, I think, the same way as prior to his injury. I don't know. Is there something I'm missing there with kind of Wood's minutes? Like it is odd that he played like 36 minutes two games ago. And I don't know, at the time I was thinking, well, that maybe he's kind of back fully in the mix. And then last game, you know, was not a super competitive game. Houston won actually by 18 points, but I don't know, given their, you know, desperation for wins, or I don't know, maybe they're actively trying to lose. I was a little surprised to see Wood's minutes back down below 30.
I've been paying pretty close attention to Houston and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Somehow there are players in the industry that have been parsing it out. Like he did, his Wall's ownership has corresponded with his performance. All else equal, the higher ownership has equaled nights where he's had better performances, and it hasn't been easy to parse out.
Yeah.
He even garnered some ownership 2 days ago when he was thought to be limited.
Yeah.
So Holmes in Sacramento kind of looks like a smash, at a minimum a high upside guy at 1.5 multiple. We have him in 11% of optimals, but seems like he warrants a higher weight than that for tournaments. What do you think about Holmes?
Yeah, his you know, his role has been quite strong since Bagley has gone down with injury. Since Bagley last played, Holmes has gone 26.5, 32, 30, and then 35.5 minutes most recently against Cleveland. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Bagley's going to continue to be out, and I think Holmes will continue to be used and or kind of play more than like 30 minutes a game. Even when, what was it, when he was with Phoenix, I believe it was, I don't know, he's bounced around a bit, but there were times last year where he was just like hyper efficient. And I think like the thing with him has always been, he has never really been in a role where, it was with like Philadelphia, where he was, whenever Embiid was injured, he was, you know, hyper productive in kind of his per minute efficiency. And then, yeah, last year with Phoenix, I think had some spots where he was quite efficient for like DraftKings and FanDuel, where some of these secondary players have more viability. Yeah, I mean, if you can get 30 plus minutes out of Holmes and get kind of a median to above median efficiency game from him, does figure to be a pretty strong spot for him.
And last one, Towns, low multiplier of 1.1. How do you see the Towns play? We're playing a Dallas guy in pretty much every lineup. So I guess on the Minnesota side, it will be Edwards or Towns. How do you see Towns tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Towns has kind of paid off that low multiplier with pretty high regularity as of late. I think for tournament purposes, my preference would still be with Edwards, just given the price disparity between the two. Let's see. I mean, I'm usually putting in a rule of like max one Towns Edwards, but there have been games as of late where both of those guys have gotten there. Last game was an interesting divergence in that Edwards' minutes, I mean, he played the fewest minutes he's played since, mid-March. And Towns put up a, I guess, irregularly high, you know, workload. So I don't know. I think in the steady state, I would assume that kind of their minutes load would converge back to the normal. So, or at least where it's been for really the last few weeks. So, does seem, I mean, I'm looking at the usage plots of both these guys, and it's got like, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett type visuals here, where it's just like only one of those guys can have big usage games. Like I'm seeing a Edwards game of 40% usage, Towns is below 25. Last game, Towns at close to 40% usage, Edwards down to just above 25. And I don't know, between the two, I think I'd rather take Edwards than Towns.
Yeah. It's interesting. There was a lot of hype on Jared Vanderbilt early in the season. He's not relevant for Superdraft, but it's an interesting change where they probably are going to have him in the starting lineup from now on.
Yeah, it's just like he's played in games where he started, and still he's just one of these guys that
doesn't
like
give any minutes.
Right, he's like, you know, a vanity starter for the most part. But I mean, there's a few guys like Vanderbilt, Marc Gasol, Aaron Baines, Kaminsky for a while that were just, you know, Garrison Matthews with Washington, where these guys like will start the game but then not really play that much of the game once they get, you know, removed. And yeah, I don't know. I'm far, you know, I don't, these NBA coaches obviously are true pros. But like, I wonder what the thinking is there with like, why start a guy who you only intend to play 15 minutes? I don't know. Seems odd. Yeah.
I think their vision is that he will be an important part of the team.
Yeah. Maybe it's,
I think their vision is that like, he's a young guy with Edwards, and those two guys should be playing together, and they're an important part of the team. But
yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it for today. Good pod, great slate. Good luck to all of our listeners.